But it's a subject that I think needs to be reinforced in the Lord's churches. So if you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And I want to say from the outset that I believe this verse, without reservation, without apology, I don't back up from it one iota. I believe that God is the Creator. It says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 1. And verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I want to preach on creation and Christianity. If these two passages of Scripture were the only ones stating that God is the sovereign Creator of all things, and that Jesus Christ as God was an active participant in the creation of the universe, if they were the only two verses in all the Bible, I would believe them with all my heart. I would embrace them without any apology. There is a direct link between the work of creation and the work of Jesus Christ. If you deny that God is the Creator of all things, you also are denying Jesus Christ, eternal, essential deity and power. For nearly 1900 years, Christians, as a general rule, accepted the creation account found in the Bible. And today I'm going to show you just how far we've fallen. Ever since 1859, when Charles Darwin came out with Origin of the Species, it was first published as a research thesis. I think he did a lot of his work in the Galapagos Islands. And he came out with this book. It was first published in 1859. And the paradigm began to change regarding creation. Christians, preachers, theologians, seminary professors, teachers began a slow but progressive descent into evolutionary theories. Many Christians felt pressured by scientists in the scientific community to alter or explain away the biblical view of God as the Creator. And they would find ways to conveniently compromise the story of creation with what they said were new scientific facts that were coming to light. Evolutionary thought led to the repudiation of the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures by many. There is a direct correlation between the publication of The Origin of the Species, and by the 1880s, you have one of the first new translations of the Holy Scriptures produced by Westcott and Hort, who were infidels. who did not believe the truth about the deity and the glory and the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. They began... Well, what happened was, it was you had evolution, then you had a lot of American preachers and theologians and professors going to Germany to be schooled in German rationalism. And then you began to have a higher... People looked at the Bible not to be taught by it, but rather they began to practice what they called higher criticism. They began to correct the Scriptures that they didn't like. And then that followed with a fundamental denial of many of the basic foundational truths of the Christian faith. So you've got 1859, Origin of Species. You've got the first of many perverted English translations brought forth in the 1880s. In the early 1900s, you have professors in Bible colleges denying the virgin birth. And they're teaching people that, they're teaching young preachers that the virgin birth is a farce, the creation account is not true, that the resurrection of Christ was not literal, the blood atonement is not literal, and what was born out of that in response to that was what many call fundamentalism. There's a lot of flaws in fundamentalism too. Because they, as they flourished, they began to deny the truth of the Lord's New Testament church. Now this pattern led to the Scopes trial in Tennessee in the early 1900s, where William Jennings Bryan was made to look like a fool, literally, in his defense of creationism. Evolution was picked up by the progressives, by the humanists, by the liberals, and they were the ones who gained control of our universities. They began to teach teachers that creation was a farce, that evolution was a fact. Those teachers then went back to their public schools. The public school system began to, without any apology, began to teach that creation was a farce and evolution was a fact. And their efforts began to gain so much momentum through the philosophy of John Dewey. He was called the father of the modern day public school system. You probably know him for Dewey's decimal system. He was a philosopher, he was a professor, he was a progressive, a liberal who hated God. But his manner of education, his philosophy of education, began to be implemented in public schools all over the country. So you had a top-down teaching of evolution. It started in our universities. It went to the colleges, the community colleges. It went to the high schools. It went to the grade schools. And now, you can't hardly go anywhere. You can't watch a Discovery Channel show without them saying that the world is billions of years old. It's a lie from hell. I believe in a young earth. I don't compromise at all. I don't care that they're going to call me a nut, because I don't believe that the earth is billions of years old. It really aggravates me. It seems like every 10 years or so, they add about 4 billion years on. It used to be, you know, well, it's a billion years old back in the 80s. Oh, no, now I think it's up to 14.7 billion years old, or maybe more than that. It's kind of like the deficit of the United States. Who used to talk about a trillion? You know, what's it going to be next? 17 trillion? pretty soon, is it going to be a gazillion? Is that even a number? I think they just make that stuff up. And that's the way it is with evolutionary thought. Whenever they're challenged or whenever there's something brought out against them, they just add a few more billion years on. It's sad. Now here's what's really wicked about this. When you believe in evolutionary thought, it ties in with your philosophy of life and how you view human beings. I don't believe for a minute that any of us came from a lower life form. I believe that God created Adam. And that out of Adam, He formed Eve. And that we are a direct creation of God Almighty. That we don't come from amoebas or slime or apes or anything else. We are a direct creation of God. But if you believe in evolution, you believe that man is nothing but an animal. The study of eugenics is this idea that you can... It grew into even cloning. Margaret Sanger, if you know who Margaret Sanger is, she was the founder, the original founder of Planned Parenthood. She was an evolutionist. She took the theories of evolution and she began to recommend to society that in order to cull out and purge out the undesirables from the human race, we need to start practicing abortion. She especially targeted poor black families in the inner cities. She said that they were undesirables in society and they needed to be eliminated and terminated so that we could have a purer race. Now, you don't hear that in our politically correct. That's all hidden today about Margaret Sanger. And when they talk about Planned Parenthood, they say it's about a woman's reproductive right. No, it's about murder. And the theories go all the way back to the ideas and the theories of Margaret Sanger. Here's what a lot of people don't know. Adolf Hitler used many of the philosophies and teachings of Margaret Sanger in her theories on these things and brought these evolutionary theories and claimed that the Aryan race was superior. I heard one guy say, and I'd never thought about it before, Adolf Hitler must have been indwelt by demons to be able to get people to believe his message that a blonde-haired, blue-eyed race was superior, white race was superior to all others. He didn't have blonde hair or blue eyes. And yet, he convinced an entire nation to follow him. They exterminated the Jews because they felt like they were an inferior race. Goes all the way back to the teachings of evolution, tied in with abortion and eugenics. What I'm trying to do is show you the pattern of what happens when you deny the first verse of the Bible and you deny that God is the Creator. It has a domino effect on society and we are living it. We are seeing the results of it today. By 1960, one woman, Madeline Murray O'Hare, waged a war on God and the Bible. And through her efforts, the entire public school system was changed forever. Couldn't have the Ten Commandments, couldn't read the Bible, couldn't have prayer. Now, I went to school in a little community outside of Cincinnati, and my sixth grade teacher, he had a Bible on his desk, and he read it every day at lunchtime. He quoted Scripture. We had prayer every morning. This was in the 60s and early 70s. He obviously didn't get the memo. And they called him, his name was Mr. Burns. And he lived up to that. That was back when you got spankings. And I got spanked the first day of school. Kind of like you're the example, you know. I was kind of rambunctious. My mom must have fed me that concoction with all that brown sugar. I'd get a little rambunctious. And that first day of school, Mr. Burns took me up in front of the whole class and took that, I mean, he had a massive paddle and whipped the fire out of me. Man, that humbled me down for about a week. I got pretty familiar with Mr. Burns' paddle that year, I'm afraid. But here's what's amazing. I never forgot. He never personally witnessed to me. Years later, a homeschooling group asked me to come and speak at their commencement. And I got up and preached. And somebody came up to me and they said, are you the Tom Ross that was in Mr. Burns' class and later in Mrs. Davidson's class? Mr. Davidson, I said, yes, I am. Lord, save me. They looked at me and they said, it's a miracle. And it is. But you know, by 1960, evolutionary thought is universal in our country. The Bible kicked out of basically the public forum. Guess what happened just in 13 short years? 1973. The Supreme Court decides, they ruled that it was legal for a woman literally to exterminate and kill a baby in her womb. It has been the law of the land since 1973. I believe that's when the state religion of the United States became progressive secular humanism. It was declared, for all intents and purposes, we hate God as a nation. Progressives and secular humanists, with evolutionary thought, with abortion, with atheism, they promoted what they called free love in the 60s, in the 70s. What was the result of it? It was the advancement and the acceleration of homosexuality, pornography, immorality, immodesty, and ultimately it resulted in the epidemic of a disease that I believe God brought as judgment, the epidemic of HIV and AIDS in the 80s. They didn't know what hit them. It all goes back. All the way back to evolutionary philosophy. This is what it leads to in a society. I'll tell you something else that was born out of evolutionary thought. The entire environmental movement. Innocently enough, in the 1970s, it was, remember what it was called? Earth Day. Do you know what day Earth Day is? It's the birthday of Vladimir Lenin, the famous communist. I don't think that's a coincidence. You see, I believe that the environmental movement essentially declared that man could control the climate and the environment through human regulation and wisdom. The EPA was brought into being And that completely denies that God is the Creator who controls the weather and the environment. I don't believe that man in any way, shape, or form controls the environment. I believe that God does. And if He wants to make it 100 degrees today, that's His business. He'll do as He sees fit. And I don't care if you're driving an electric car, it ain't going to change the temperature 1 degree. God's in control of the environment. Do you see the domino effect of evolutionary thought in our nation and in the world? Do you realize that soon every state in the Union will legalize and recognize homosexual marriage? Mark it down. It is going to happen. It's immoral, it's wicked, it's sinful. Marijuana is going to be legal. First for medical, later for recreational use in all 50 states. Listen, this is evolutionary thought permeating our society. The blind acceptance of evolution as scientific fact has been the root cause of secular humanism and the teachings of abortion, socialism, communism, immorality. And that's why we face today a serious moral dilemma in our world. It all goes back to evolutionary thought and the repudiation of God as the Creator and ultimately God as God. Young people, you better thank God that you have parents that take you to a church that believes the Word of God. You ought to thank God every day that you have a mom and a dad that loves you so much they're trying to teach you the principles of the Word of God to guide your life. Do you realize how many kids there are today whose parents probably didn't even wake up today because they're on drugs, they're consumed by alcohol, a lot of them don't have a dad at home or a mom at home, and it all goes back to immorality that's fostered by evolutionary thought. Young people, thank God that your parents are teaching you that God is the Creator. This is why the teaching of creation is critical to Christianity. Evolution is a religion which enables people to write their own rules and then demand that others obey them. I'm not going to conform. I'm not going to obey. And here's what makes it even worse. I have an ongoing feud with a retired preacher. He's called a preacher. I wrote an article and said that his name's Milt Hankins of Ashland, Kentucky. He's a retired minister, theologian, and freelance writer. Well, after he wrote these two articles, one about affirming homosexual marriage and the other that science and religion should call a truce, I wrote an article and said that he's mistaken. He is not a retired minister. He is very active. And I quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He's a minister of Satan. And they printed it. That wasn't all that I said, but that's the crux of it. I was amazed that they printed it. All right. This is what some preachers are teaching and believing. Here's what he says. The article is about how millennials, young people, are leaving churches. I'm going to tell you what. You don't attract young people by compromise. You've got to teach the Word of God and pray that He'll work it in their hearts. I mean, that's why we're trying to reach people. Not just to have a lot of numbers and say, look at all that we've got. But he said the reason why is because people are insisting on the literal creation account. Now, this is a preacher. He said, frankly, for science or religion, it is patently absurd to attempt to pin down precisely when the universe, the cosmos, came into being. I am firmly convinced it was not as described in Genesis 1 and 2. I believe that the universe is still a work in progress, as modern astronomy clearly demonstrates, and the writer of Genesis couldn't have known the cosmos is continually expanding. When a truce is called between science and religion, when church recognizes 21st century scientific knowledge, more young people will be willing to accept what the church has to offer. Do you realize how many churches compromise like that? You better thank God you got a pastor that believes the Bible, that teaches it just as it is. The first thing I want to establish this morning, do you believe in the authority of the Scriptures, or do you believe in the authority of men? Henry Morris said, "The main reason why educated people believe in evolution is simply because they have been told that most educated people believe in evolution." That's it. I mean, they can't defend it. Think about this. Everyone bases their belief system on God or men. As Christians, we believe that the Holy Scriptures are God's inspired revelation to man. The Bible reveals God's will. It reveals His truth. Its principles are to be foundational for every area of life. Young people, you need to settle it in your hearts right now. I believe this is God's Word. It has all the answers that I need for my life and for eternal life. They're all right here. The Bible is the only book that makes the claim that it is literally inspired by God. The Scripture says of itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 through 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2:15. You know who inspired the Bible? God. And He moved upon men to write down exactly what He wanted them to say. This is God's revelation to man. Here's the great thing about the one who wrote, who inspired the Bible. He knows everything. God knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. God knows, and this is something you've got to teach your kids and your grandkids right from the beginning. It's a great, great tool. I remember when we used to play hide and seek. And my youngest could hide. He was real little. But he would hide places and nobody would ever find him. And finally, you know, after everybody else had ollie ollie income free and He wouldn't come in and we, where in the world is it? Because he thought it was funny that nobody could find him. Well, one day I got hold of him. And he said, I said, you know what? Nobody else could find you. But you know God knew right where you were all the time. He not only knew where you were, He knew what you were thinking. He looked up at me. And then I quoted Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Well, that changed his mindset. I mean, he's just a little fella. And every time that I felt like he was fudging on something, I'd say, you know, the Lord sees you. He'd go. He'd fess up. The Lord saved him. I'm going to tell you something. God knows everything. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what you're thinking right now. He's omniscient. Now, I got to tell you that when I was doing this series, and I probably ain't going to tell this story right, but I found a post by Orville on Facebook where he said that there was an atheist, an evolutionist, who said, he was up on the podium and he said, "If God is truly the creator of the world, the only way I'll believe it is if God would knock him down from that podium right then and there." And then a Marine responded by knocking the atheist down with a massive punch. When he came to, he asked the Marine why he did it. The Marine said, "Well, the Lord was busy with the troops in Afghanistan, so He sent me to knock you down to prove that there is a God." Well, I wish some of that would happen in our universities sometimes. God knows everything, and He's the one that inspired the Bible. If you choose to accept the authority of man's opinions and writings, then you have to rely upon flawed, depraved, sinful philosophies that often are disproved within a generation. The original evolutionary theories are no longer in vogue. They have to come up with something different all the time to keep their constituents interested. God's Word never changes. See, as Christians, we must accept, believe, embrace, and agree with what God's Word says about creation without apology. The Bible warns us about accepting the philosophies of men in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Listen, young people, if you hear somebody tell you that the earth is billions of years old, I love the question Ken Ham often asks when people make that claim. How do you know that? Well, we've come up with this computer-generated program that has caused us to think that... I'm asking you, how did it come about? When did it come about? And I want facts. I want scientific facts. And they'll say, "Well, so-and-so said it." And then they said it before them. Well, that doesn't make it right. But he always teaches young people to say to their teachers, "Were you there? Do you know anybody that was there to observe the creation of the universe?" And they'll say, "Well, no, of course not." Well, then how can you state it as scientific fact? It's not something that was observed. But I know somebody that was there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible claims that God knows everything. He has all knowledge. And if this is true, then the Bible is the word of someone who knows everything there is to know. If we want to come to right conclusions about anything, the only sure way would be to start with the word of the one who has absolute knowledge of all things. We have to build all our thinkings in every area of life on the Bible. We have to start with God's Word, not the Word of finite, fallible, sinful men. We have to judge what people say on the basis of what God's Word says, not the other way around. I'm going to tell you how crucial this is. Because if they can get you to doubt the first verse of the Bible, they can get you to doubt the rest of the Bible. And before I did this series, you know, I've read my Bible through. I've been saved now for 34 years. I know I've read my Bible through at least 45 times. And I don't know how many times I've run across scriptures all through the Bible saying without any apology that God is the Creator. And it's amazing how many there are. Now, this is going to be kind of tedious. But I want you to take your Bible right now. We're going to go through some scriptures and we're going to do it quickly. And then we're going to be done. We got to eat at 11:30, right? We're going to be done before 11:30. Don't be scared. All right, I'm not going to preach till we eat, all right? But I want to show you something. What you would have to deny and rip out and take out of the Word of God if you don't believe what it says about creation. Let's look at some verses. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the sun. He made the stars also. The sun, the moon, the stars, the firmament, and all the host. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I believe God created everything in 6 days, and that he rested on the seventh day. Just like the book says. Chapter 2, verse 2. This is just a different view, a different account of what happened. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. No evolution. Verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I meant to read verse 7, I'm sorry. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A direct creation from God. Look at verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now here's the beginning of satanic evolutionary thought. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said? Hey, isn't that what every evolutionist, every atheist, every progressive, every liberal says? You really believe God said that? Listen, I believe God's Word. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Chapter 6, verse 6. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth Me that I have made them. And then He sent a great flood to judge. Only 8 people survived it. The ones that entered into the ark. And that has been historically proven. There are accounts of the Noah's Ark in almost every culture, because they took that story from the Tower of Babel when God dispersed the nations. They took it everywhere. What I'm trying to show you is how much God says, I'm the Creator. And how much Scripture you'd have to deny to embrace evolutionary thought. Look at 7, verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Chapter 9 and verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made He man. Say, okay, alright. Genesis, yes, the book of beginnings. It's a book that emphasizes creation. What about the rest of the Bible? Well, I'm not going to go through all the Bible, but I am going to highlight some. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 32. For ask now the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. Since the day that God created man upon the earth. No evolution. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. This is good for all the young people here. You ought to memorize this verse. Ecclesiastes 12, 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God is your Creator. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26. By the way, let's read verse 22. I want to show you that there is a scientific fact that the earth is not flat. They call us flat earthers. You know, if you don't believe in the EPA or environmental, all that environment, they say, oh, the earth is a flat earther. No, I'm a Bible believer. I believe that the earth is round because it's in the Word. Look what it says in verse 22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. By the way, if you're embracing evolutionary thought, you're listening to grasshoppers in comparison to God. I mean, I'm not going to put much confidence in someone who's compared to a grasshopper. What can a grasshopper do to you? You ever been out baling hay or anything like that? I've never yet had a grasshopper raise up on its back legs and say, "Hey, this is my hay field. I'm tired of you coming here and invading it." If one ever did, I'd just go, "Shut up." But in comparison to God, man's likened to a grasshopper that's powerless. But look here in verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth." Chapter 41 and verse 20. "That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it." 42 verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord God, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein." He's in control of creation and life. Chapter 43 verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Verse 7, "Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Created, formed, made. Now, I don't have time to go through everything, but I do want to go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and look at verse 6. Let's read verse 5. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart He wrote unto you this precept." Now this is Jesus talking. "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." Do you realize what you're doing if you deny that God is a creator? You're saying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is lying. That He doesn't know the truth about evolution. Because He states without apology that God made man. Man and male and female. And by the way, there are no divisions. You're either a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. There's nothing in between. I don't care what they're trying to pass off today. You're either a boy or a girl. It's idiotic to think otherwise. And yet, this is being passed off in society as something that ought to be embraced as normal. It's not normal. It goes against God's Word. I'm going to tell you, the whole homosexual agenda, I don't ever call them gay. Because I think they've stolen that word. The whole homosexual agenda, it has nothing to do with them wanting to be married. They want people to say, "Well, yeah, you can do that because God's Word needs to be banished. Because it teaches that it's an abomination, that it's a sin. That if you don't repent of it, you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire." The Bible teaches that. So the real underlying current of the whole homosexual agenda is to get rid of this book right here. And to get rid of anybody who believes it. I'm telling you something. If you believe in creation, if you believe in God's Word, you are going to be heading for persecution. Young people, you better settle it right now that you're going to believe the truth no matter what comes. I may not see it in my life, but if the Lord Jesus doesn't come back, I think there's going to be persecution of anybody who embraces the Word of God as the Word of God. Look at chapter 13, verse 19, Mark. For in those days shall be affliction, such was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. That's Jesus is saying that. That God is the Creator. Now, I don't have time for the rest of these, but those of you that got your notebooks and you're writing stuff down, I'm going to give you the Scriptures. And maybe you can go over it with your children. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, 3. 1 Peter 4, 19. Revelation 3, 14. Revelation 4, 11. Revelation 10, verse 6. Now, that's just a sampling. And I could... What you got today took me 2 weeks in my church, so I did chase a few rabbits. And I always preach longer at a revival meeting. You know why I do that? I do it for Brother Reynolds. When the evangelist preaches long, it makes the preacher look good. When I get done preaching, you start thinking, man, I don't think I could take that for very long. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. See, that's one of the jobs of an evangelist. Make you appreciate your pastor. So I'm not going to be like Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. We're going to be done here in a minute. I got one last quote. By the way, everybody ought to have this in their library. It's called The Lie of Evolution. It's by Ken Ham. It's just a little book. But I like this illustration that he gave. He says, unfortunately, too many people have started with the word of men and then judged what the Bible states. What an arrogant position this is. We cannot tell God what He should say. We must be prepared to come totally under His authority and listen to what He says to us. Yes, creation is religion, but it's based on revelation from the all-knowing Creator. Evolution is religion, but it is not based on revelation from God. Instead, it is based on the words of men who were not there. Men who, by their own admission, do not know everything. And these men, the Bible informs us, are biased against God and His Word. If the Bible is not the infallible Word of the One who knows everything, then we have exactly nothing. We can never be sure about anything. What then is truth? My word, your word, or someone else's word? If we don't have the final authority. In fact, how do you determine what truth is or how to search for it? I recall a seminar where a young man stated, I can't believe in creation. I believe in the Big Bang. We're just products of chance and random processes. There is no God. What do you say to that? And that's how they get, they're belligerent. Ken Ham replied, well, if you're a product of chance, your brain is also a product of chance. Therefore, the thought patterns that determine your logic are also products of chance. If your logic is the result of chance processes, you can't be sure that it evolved properly. You can't be sure you're even asking the right question because you can't trust your own logic. He was dumbfounded. Afterwards, he came up and asked for the best books on the subject and said that he'd have to seriously think this through. He had begun to realize that without an absolute God, he had nothing. That's the beauty of genuine Christianity. I'm going to tell you something, young people. Look around you. You are surrounded by some of the best people you will ever meet in this world. That believe the Bible, that love God's Word, that love God, who are kind, gracious, concerned for others, compassionate. That's Christianity. And I'm telling you, there is nothing greater in all the world than knowing the Savior and following Him. Brother, you come ahead. Brother Reynolds, take over the service if you would, please.